The Baby Lambs podcast may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to the Baby Lambs podcast. Welcome to the Baby Lambs podcast. Welcome to the Baby Lambs podcast.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh. I mean, we could say it at the same time.
Okay. Well, we're in person, so yeah, we could.
Oh, that's true.
Versus our Zooms where you're like, I think we did it at the same time. And it's like a minute later.
Well, you know, Zoom, yeah, fair enough. But yeah, hi, welcome back to the Baby Lambs. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Lisette, and well, short said we're the Baby Lambs podcast, but I think today we are an entertainment podcast. We
weren't entertaining before.
We're
entertaining now.
Now, on this third day in February. You know, oh, really quick, yesterday was the feast day for La Candelaria. For my Catholic/Reformed Catholics. She's the patron saint of my town in Cuba, so every February 2nd, I used to go to Mass.
Aww. Did you do anything special for your patron saint this...
No, I just said a prayer.
Yeah.
I usually do. But it's a good day to cut your hair, actually.
Is it?
Yeah. On La Candelaria.
Well, I washed it, so...
That's good. So it'll be clean.
Yay.
Yay! But anyway.
But yeah, well, we're joined today by a special guest because we decided our topic this week should be about the when we're recording this,
yeah.
They just released the list of Golden Globe nominees.
Yep.
And I mean, we can go on and on, but we needed an expert.
Yeah.
So we decided to bring
our entertainment correspondent, Sasha.
Hi.
So tell the people why you qualify as an entertainment correspondent.
I mean, that's very generous of you. But I clearly have a lot of knowledge of pop culture.
I would have started with, I have a lot of opinions.
A lot of knowledge. Random facts on pop culture, and I usually am the one in our little group that likes to say, "Hey, fun fact! Did you know X?" Labels me as
I mean, also the fact that like you live in the same complex as Ashley now, which means that we just can't get rid of you.
Clearly.
Like you're trying to take over my spot, but that's a different episode for a different day. You know, it's fine.
Hey, it is what it is. I have the best friend who comes to prove it.
Oh God!
You forget you have hair that I can pull, right?
This turned into a whole other episode.
It was gonna be about award season. Now it's just about backstabbing friends.
Imagine like how awkward. Like I actually brought you here just to tell you,
just to call me out and be like, why are you trying to steal my life wife?
Exactly.
Explain to me.
Mm-hmm. See, as the water sign in the middle of the two fire signs.
How you feeling?
You feel a little like tugged and
worse. You know, because water signs like to accommodate everybody. We're very mutable, so I'm trying to like. There's enough of both of you. I'm water. I can fit into any.
I flow anywhere.
But so I actually to segue.
No,
I actually have not read. I haven't seen the list.
Okay. So
oh, yeah.
If you want, we'll start where we're happy.
Okay.
And then get angry.
Okay, because I'm going to go ahead and pull it up.
Go for it, yeah.
Nominations. Golden Globes nominations. Yeah, that's what I meant.
Would you put Golden Globes?
Because I put Golden Globes in one word.
They took issue with that.
They did. It was like, don't you mean the Golden Space Globes?
Golden Space.
All right, so let's look at this list. Okay, so we have for Best Motion Picture, Musical or Comedy, Borat Subsequent Movie Film.
Yeah.
Hamilton, Music.
Love it.
I haven't seen Music. Have I seen Music?
It came out like during like the holidays. It's the one that Sia directed, yeah, where correct. Like that young woman that she has that dances in all her videos. Ziegler,
the Maddie yeah. Ziegler.
Oh, she's in it?
Yeah, she's the main character.
She's a teen with autism yeah. in the movie.
Oh!
Leslie Odom Jr. also in it.
And Kate Hudson. Which she's also nominated for the movie.
Oh, that's yeah. amazing.
Okay. And the premise is ultimately the young girl, Maddie Ziegler, she has autism. And when she thinks of the scenarios in her mind, it's a dance sequence.
Yeah.
Of what's going on in her life.
So it's kind of very Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist.
Yeah, inspired. In a way,
yeah.
Interesting. And there's another show that's doing that, too.
Other than Zoe's...
Yeah.
Really?
It's about a guy, I don't remember what it's called, but it's a guy who's, like, losing his hearing. You know what I'm talking about? He has to undergo some sort of procedure that's gonna take away his hearing altogether, so he's like...
Isn't it, like, Senses Fail or something? It's on Hulu.
Yeah, something like that. And it's another idea of, like, music heals the soul and all that, and, like, dances and stuff.
Okay. So, it's very similar, but in this regard, it's like a drama musical, if you will. So, like, she's going through some real stuff, and her sister, who's Kate Hudson, is supposed to take care of her all of a sudden. And then, you know, you see her interpretation of what's going on in the world. Through her lens, which is all these dance sequences and things like that. That's why they use Maddie Ziegler. But you made a good point this morning.
So, like, it sounds cool. My issue is that, like, they could have gotten an actor that has autism or is, like, on the autism, like, the Asperger's
spectrum.
And, like, if she really needed Maddie Ziegler in there for dance, like, you know,
she could have been like character.
Her alter ego, you know?
Yeah.
Like, in her head. So it's, like, it's cool. It's a cool concept. I like it. I will probably see it at some point because I'm judging from the outside without having seen the film.
Yeah.
But it's kind of, like, I don't know if you want to go through, like,
everything. I'm gonna go through most things. There are certain, certain categories you're like, eh.
Because I was going to segue it into, like, for example, James Corden being nominated for The Prom.
Which is also on the list of musicals or comedies for Best Picture.
Yeah, so he's probably going to come up, like, next. Mm-hmm. But he's nominated for it, and, like, that's another issue. He's not, like, he doesn't consider himself a gay man, but, like, he's playing a gay man in a movie, and now he's nominated for a Golden Globe. And, like, in my very unprofessional opinion, his acting was not a thing. It was like a caricature of what a gay man is when you could have just hired a gay man in the arts.
I agree. I like James Corden in terms of, like, he has a good personality. Obviously, he has the chops. He has a Tony Award. He's been in musicals
before. He's talented.
Before.
But
I'm tired of seeing him in things.
Yeah, and Andrew Reynolds. He is an out gay man, and he was in the Prom too.
And he, I think, did a fantastic job.
Fabulous.
He was fabulous. Yes.
Like, my biggest issue too is, like, everything that, like, Ryan Murphy does, he always has to have, like, his five staple people. And it's like, because if it wasn't James Corden, it was probably going to be Matt Bomer.
Yeah,
true. Because they have reemerged in multiple Ryan Murphy.
Yeah, or products. Zachary Quinto.
Yeah.
Or Jim Parsons.
Yeah.
He does. He does tap in a lot into his group of go-to actors.
Yeah, white gay men.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know me. I was super excited to see The Prom. You know,
We all cried.
We cried. Beautiful. Loved it. But when you put it up against other heavyweights that have been nominated this year, and in particular when you narrow it down to the actors too, I'm just like, James Corden, all right. Like, I'm not saying he's not talented or whatnot, but that was a slot that could have potentially gone to someone else that I think, you know, would have deserved it. And we'll talk about that a little bit more when we get more in detail, but...
Okay, fair enough. The last movie is Palm Springs, which you really love, and you've been wanting me to see it. She told me the same thing today. I still haven't seen it.
Oh my god.
I'll get there. I'll get there.
I hadn't even heard of it until this morning, until you told me.
You know what? That's what we should watch on Friday.
Okay. I'm all yours.
What do you mean? What's happening on Friday?
Nothing. It's just that I had told it.
Lissette and I are best friends now.
Oh, so all of a sudden now I'm kicked out.
Yes.
Great. Yes. Cool.
We'll get there when we get to the snubs.
Great. Awesome.
We'll talk about it then. You're welcome.
Moving on. So, best director in a motion picture, we have Emerald Fennell for A Promising Young Woman, which I've heard is really great.
Yeah.
David Fincher for Mank. Never heard of it. Regina King for One Night in Miami, which was great.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Sorkin for The Trial of the Chicago 7. I haven't seen it yet. I do really want to see it. It's on my list. And Chloe Zhao for Nomadland, which I've also heard really good things about.
And Mank is on Netflix, by the way.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
It's all with Gary Oldman and Amanda Seyfried.
Yeah.
It's like old Hollywood. It's about old Hollywood.
Yes. Okay. Okay, yeah, I've seen the,
the
posters and shit for it.
It's supposed to be based on, like, the man that inspired Citizen Kane, like, the character for Citizen Kane, and the girlfriend or wife of the main character in Citizen Kane.
Oh,
that's cool.
Also, never seen Citizen Kane, so...
It's fine.
I always get Citizen Kane confused with? Because I haven't seen it either. I always get Citizen Kane confused with Kramer versus Kramer.
Oh, that one I've seen.
I haven't seen that one either.
But I don't know why. Every time I think Citizen Kane, I think divorce. But then I'm like, no, that's Kramer versus Kramer. Yep. Then what's Citizen Kane?
Isn't that the one with...
I also think of, Patton. Why? I don't know.
Isn't Citizen Kane with the guy that played, Batman's butler, with the one with Christian Bale?
No,
Michael Caine.
Citizen Kane is with Orson Welles.
Orson Welles.
Yeah.
It's what he is, like, the most famous for. Like,
I've never seen it either.
He was an established, like, director, producer. Like, he went on to do a lot of things.
Okay.
Where kind of, like, life... art imitated his life in later years. But, yeah, Citizen Kane is all about, like, a newspaper tycoon kind of guy who, like, put a lot of money into Hollywood at the time. So Mank is about, like, that time in Hollywood based on the people in the circle that, like, Citizen Kane was based off of. There's a really cool video, like, if you want, I'll share it with you that, like, kind of just talks about Mank and, like, all of the people represented.
I do really quickly want to say that I'm very, very, very happy that Regina King was nominated so far. And I'm hopeful that this is, like, the beginning of other nominations that she's going to get, because it's her first directorial debut on top of everything else.
I mean, for this list, it's three female directors that are nominated.
Which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's not something we've seen a whole lot of.
Nope.
So that is something
that's
to celebrate. I know that there's other controversy to come, but that is worth mentioning, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
Again, for me, I haven't looked at the list, so everything is all brand new. So.
And also, what you were mentioning to me this morning about how this is a project that came from Margot Robbie's.
Oh, that's Promising Young Woman. Yeah.
Yes, the director for that movie coming from one of the first projects is what you said.
Yeah. Okay. So Margot Robbie, when she wasn't getting like she was. In that realm of, like, being typecast, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, sexy, bombshell, the whole thing. She's like, well, you know what? I'm just going to create my own production company. And, like, her agent basically told her to go ahead and do it. So that she would be able to do, like act in other stories, you know? Like, be a little bit more complex. Like, she's more than just being a sexy woman. And...
I gotta frame that. I have your card here because I want to frame it.
You're so cute.
So I'm just... Don't be mad, cause
I'm not mad at all. I just assume that people throw them away.
No, I kept it. I want to put it in something.
Sweethearts, I can't. Fine, I won't be as angry about the cups. So she created this production company, and what they started doing was they started hosting a lot of like workshops so that female writers and like other like directors, producers, and stuff would come to these workshops. And potentially, like, sell their scripts to the production company.
Amazing.
And Promising Young Woman was one of the first ones that they bought. and greenlit and all of that. She's not acting in it, but that was kind of like the whole point, yeah. Right? Because through the production company, she's done things like I, Tonya.
I, Tonya, which is also really
cool. Yeah, Birds of Prey was one of her projects. So I'm really excited for her future projects because Charlize Theron kind of also did the same thing. And like, yeah, we can talk about like white women and privilege and, you know, all of that. But it's the other side of the coin where like it has to start somewhere, unfortunately. Yeah. And like if they have the privilege and can potentially give other people voices. Yeah.
And they're recognizing that responsibility that they have to, with that privilege, utilize it to give a voice to other women out there that have stories to tell that aren't getting picked up. And so I think that's a huge thing, you know, going back to the women that were nominated in this category. So I'm very excited. Hopefully it's like you said, it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah. And like, for example, Regina King has like a long history in Hollywood. Like, this is her first feature film.
Yeah. And if you think about it, she's done many movies and stuff like that where she's been critically acclaimed, but it's only in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
That she's finally getting, like, this recognition. The accolades for it.
But she had been acting way before then.
Yeah.
Oh my God, way before way, that.
Way, I feel like Regina then. King.
She was, like, in every, like, up and, like, what? Was that here?
I guess. I don't know.
Oh, okay. She was in, like, all of those, like, all those movies in the 90s, like, that, I don't know, that showed us all sorts of, you know, different cultures and feelings, and she was on television shows, she was all over the place.
I think the movie that a lot of people first associate her with, and is not the first movie that she did, was Jerry Maguire.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think that's what put her on a different stratosphere. Of mainstream.
Yeah.
But again, you can't just ignore all the works that she had done leading up to that.
True.
So it goes back to, in the last 10 years, she's getting all this recognition, but she's been hard at work for
I want to add too, like, she also has another feature film coming out with Netflix this year.
Yeah.
So it's going to be, like, two big movies for her in one. I'm, like, it just makes me so excited because it's really just, like, opening the doors for, like, different stories, new possibilities, new voices.
It was also a really cool, first film to choose.
Yeah. I haven't seen it yet.
Well, I mean, even if you don't know what happens, it's about, it's a movie about four tremendously, you know, influential black men of history, and it's directed by a black woman, and it tackles, you know, all of the, obviously it takes place in, like, during, like, the 60s, and, you know,
in Overtown, Miami, when Overtown was this thriving artistic community before the 95 came in and just kind of, like,
fucked it all up
and tore straight through it. And this is the night they all decided to come together. It's four friends, essentially, right?
Yeah, it's four friends. Going and they talk a lot about, like, the black Muslim community. Mm-hmm. And, like, I mean, they have to because the characters are, like, Malcolm X and
Muhammad Ali. Jim Brown and Sam Cooke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But James Brown is, like, he's there. No, it's another character. What's his name?
It's Jim Brown.
It's Jim Brown.
Yeah.
He's the football player turned
actor. Yeah.
It was a great movie. I thought she did a great job with it. And, you know, what I remember I told you this, and when we were watching it, like, ultimately, it's also one of those movies you have to be comfortable with a lot of, like, dialogue and not this, like, a mass array of different scenes that you're going to get and all that. And I love movies like that because they do give you a lot to think about, right? Okay. Because it's all this dialogue that you're listening between the characters and...
Yeah, it's like a play.
Yeah.
Okay. It's really cool.
It's actually kind of like when we saw...
Boys in the Band. It's very much like Boys in the Band in the sense that it's like a small set and they are all just talking. They move sometimes to different sets and whatever, but not really. It's it could have easily been a play. A play, I don't know.
It's a very serious question. Do they look dewy the whole time?
Do they look dewy the whole time?
Because it's filmed on here. I think it was, like, filmed on here because it takes place here, right?
Yeah, well, they're indoors. Okay. They're indoors for...
That's never stopped our humidity.
I know, it's true. I think they do... They most of it is indoors, and then they spend some time outside, but they're not... No, to answer the question, no, they don't focus too much on, like, the precipitation.
Because when I think about...
Never mind.
When I think about Malcolm X's character, as well as Leslie Odom's character, which is Sam Cooke, no, they're not.
They're not, but they could have easily been sweaty and gross.
Maybe in that scene where, the beginning scene at the house... Without giving anything away, remember when Beau Bridges' his character?
They could have. I mean, especially because of the setting there too. Mm-hmm. They're in Georgia for the beginning of the film,
which Beau Bridges makes an appearance in the movie.
Yeah. So, spoiler.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on because we have 12 other categories. So we have best performance by an actress in a motion picture drama. So we have Viola Davis in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, Audra Day for The United States versus Billie Holiday, Vanessa Kirby for Pieces of a Woman, Frances McDormand for Nomadland, and Carrie Mulligan for Promising Young Woman. So, interesting. We have, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, I mean, in title alone, female leading titles. I don't know a whole lot about Nomadland, but I do know that it is really heavily female-driven as well, which makes sense. Yeah. For this, but I'm glad that they were being nominated for films where they're leading the narrative, as opposed to just the leading woman in the cast, which is nice.
And I think this is Audra Day's first nomination as an actress.
Mm-hmm. But I think it's also her first
in Golden Globe for sure,
which is a huge deal. Yeah. Audra Day from Coño.
She's a singer.
Yeah, from the Don't You Wish Her Pussycat?
No.
She was from the other show. The other one.
No.
Audra Day?
No, wasn't she part of a group?
She's like a soul R&B.
Yeah.
Who am I thinking of?
She has a famous song. I can't think of the name at the moment.
Me either.
But,
I am so stupid. Yes, her. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And I'm very, very excited to watch that movie because I love Billie Holiday, too. Yeah.
She looks just like her, too.
Yeah, it's kind of scary.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, Pieces of a Woman, while it's male directed, the screenplay was written by a woman. And still, like, she,
hey, I'll take it.
So that's pretty cool. And it seems to be a heavy film about, like, loss and, like, miscarriages.
Yeah.
So then we move on to best performances by an actress in a motion picture, musical, or comedy. We have Maria Bakalova for Borat's subsequent movie film. She was fucking outstanding in that film. Fucking outstanding.
Oh my God.
She deserves the win, mostly because of what Rudy Giuliani put her through. But she deserves it also because, my God, was she great.
Yeah.
And it was not an easy... That could not have been an easy film to make. Kate Hudson for music. You mentioned she plays a sister, right? Michelle Pfeiffer for French Exit.
I didn't even know that about this movie until you mentioned it this morning.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It looks fun.
Rosamund Pike for I Care A Lot. What's I Care A Lot?
The movie, yeah.
Well, she was from Gone Girl.
No, I know her. I know who she is, but I don't know what I Care A Lot is. And then we have Anya Taylor-Joy, who's our local Miami girl. Oh, no, South Florida.
And a Latina.
And a Latina, who was in Emma and also in Queen's Gambit.
Well, we'll see shortly.
Oh, she's getting nominated too.
Yeah.
Well, she's awesome in Emma. Emma's
so fun. I loved
Emma. Emma's such a good movie.
Such a good time. And I don't know why I put it off so long. I guess because I had seen other iterations of Emma and some fell short, obviously. And others, like the one that I enjoyed the most up until now was a miniseries that they had done on BBC or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And then finally, one day, I just put it on, and I'm like, I don't know why I put this off for as long as I did. It was so good.
It was excellent.
It was excellent. I loved it so much.
Okay, so then we have best performance by an actress in a supporting role in any motion picture. So we have Glenn Close in Hillbilly Elegy. I really want to see it.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. Olivia Colman in The Father. Jodie Foster in The Mauritanian.
Mm-hmm.
Amanda Seyfried for Mank and Helena Zengel for News of the World. So many movies I haven't seen.
Yeah.
Or heard of. For best performance by an actor in a motion picture drama, Riz Ahmed for Sound of Metal.
Apparently that movie took forever.
That movie is amazing.
Is it? What is it about?
So he's a drummer in like a post-punk kind of like duo.
Sexy.
So sexy. No, he has never been hotter, but that is not the point of the movie. I mean, it feels like it is, but it's not. He starts going deaf. And it's his journey, like, coming to terms with that. It is beautiful. And they did so much for inclusion purposes. And, like, a lot of the folks, well, you just have to watch it because it's incredible.
I read this morning that for him to make that movie, it took a long time.
Yeah, he would go into, like, isolation and, like, I mean, he had to learn.
How to live in a world without sound.
Yeah.
Ooh. Interesting. Okay,
proud cool. of my fellow Sagittarius there.
I love it so much. Then we have the late Chadwick Boseman for Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
My other Sagittarius.
Oh, I'm going to feel so sad seeing him in the memoriam.
But I've been wanting to see the movie. I just, like, we just haven't gotten around to it.
Well, I also want to see him in The Five Bloods.
Bloods is incredible.
Yeah.
And that was another touching
briefly. I'm waiting. I'm here, like, I'm just waiting.
We'll wait for that. But yeah. Okay. We'll move forward.
Anthony Hopkins for The Father.
Your uncle?
Uncle Tony.
Your Uncle Tony. Gary Oldman for Mank and Tahar Rahim for The Mauritanian. So, okay, cool. Best performance by an actor in a motion picture, musical, or comedy? In the musical. Okay. Sacha Baron Cohen for Borat, in the subsequent movie film. James Corden for The Prom, sure. Lin-Manuel Miranda for Hamilton.
Puerto Rico.
Just because I love him.
Oh. Hey. Dev Patel for The Personal History of David Copperfield, which I've heard is excellent as well. Andy Samberg for Palm Springs.
Because it's incredible. I just want, like, I don't know if he merits being, well, you know what, he kind of does. But you gotta see it. Because you're not ready for this ride. And you're going to go into it thinking, like, it's just Andy Samberg. And then things happen.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm not against it. And I do want to see The Personal History of David Copperfield because I have heard awesome things. Lin-Manuel, I mean, I'm happy for Lin-Manuel.
I'm just happy he gets nominated because he's so talented and I love him.
But what is he missing?
He is missing an Oscar. He's got the Emmy.
No, he has an Oscar already.
No, he does not.
Didn't he get an Oscar for...
He was nominated. He never won. He was nominated for Moana, but he lost out. He has the Grammy, he's got the Emmy, and he's got the Tony.
Okay. All right, fine.
I have a feeling here he's probably going to win for Hamilton.
I think so,
but
too.
Not for Best Actor.
I don't think he'll win for Best... Oh, because I'm guessing... because I was nominated as well.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I want him to get it. He deserves an Eagle. Definitely believe he deserves it. Whether it's all for, you know.
Yeah, I'm just here, like, I'm ready for more Cuban talent because it can't just keep being Puerto Ricans.
But, I mean, what's the problem with the Puerto Ricans? We are fantastic.
Are Gringos, like, whatever.
And our little island is, like, producing, like, all these, like, great talent.
But we're oppressed.
You have good talent too.
We do. We have Andy Garcia.
Like,
so, and Gloria Estefan.
And
Danny Pino.
We have a lot.
Andy Garcia being obviously one of my favorites.
He's amazing.
Everybody loves Andy Garcia. Okay, best performance by an actor in a supporting role in any motion picture. So that we have Sacha Baron Cohen again, but for this time for The Trial of Chicago 7. Mm-hmm. Daniel Kaluuya for Judas and the Black Messiah. I've heard great things. Why is Jared Leto already here for The Little Things and it hasn't even been released?
It came out like two weeks ago.
On HBO Max.
Which is what I'm not understanding because the timeline is supposed to be the 31st of December of like the previous year. And
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't care if he's good in the film. I hate Jared Leto.
I don't care about
and you know what it is about him, because like of course I've seen plenty of his films. I even seen that stupid film where all of us pre-pubescent girls loved him in the fucking Urban Legends. Remember Urban Legends?
Oh, I forgot about that movie.
Yeah.
Right.
We all fell in love with him.
My So-Called Life.
I was about to say that. That's where I fell in love.
I fucking hated that character.
I loved that show. And I was sad that it ended. kind of the same thing with Freaks and Geeks.
TBH, by the time I got to the last episode, all I could think about was, thank God this is over. But I watched it as an adult, not a teenage girl. Therefore,
I was
affected differently.
I saw it much younger. When like, I think I discovered it, like, in maybe high school.
Okay, that's prime.
Yeah.
That's, like, peak. I will say, another hot take in terms of that movie that he's in, I feel the same way about Rami Malek.
I kind of do, too. There's just certain people whose faces I'm tired of seeing. And I don't have anything against Rami Malek. I don't have anything against Jared Leto, except for how he treated people on the set for Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, and the way he treats his fans for 30 Seconds to Mars. Yeah. And
he's just kind of garbage.
He's just kind of a garbage human, so I don't care about him. I would say the same.
You're the same. I was thinking the same. Like, I'm not blown away by Rami Malek.
I loved him, and he's talented.
He was good.
Mr. Robot is cool.
I haven't seen it, so I can't really.
I probably have seen like half an episode, but everybody.
He was good
in
the Queen biopic, but again, I'm still not blown away by him.
And I just feel like it's the same performance every time, and I'm like, okay, cool.
But I'm gonna watch it because our girl Natalie Morales is in it.
Yeah, that's why I
want to see it.
I'm like, here, like, queer power, let's do it.
Yeah, and Miami, and FIU, hello.
Represent.
We wanted a Cuban representative.
There you go.
Let's can't she be nominated for everything?
Natalie, get on it. Okay, we also have Bill Murray for On the Rocks, which I don't know.
Okay, I really want to see that one. It's him and Rashida Jones in the movie. He plays her father.
Oh, that's cool.
And I think Keegan-Michael Key. Isn't it too? He plays the husband.
I've seen the.
Yeah, it looks like a dark comedy. It's basically like her and Bill Murray like get together for dinners, mm-hmm. but like her marriage is on the rocks, and she's like trying to save it by talking to her dad, who's like tremendo mujeriego. It looks like a good time.
Okay, all right. I know a lot of people don't like Bill Murray either, but
yeah,
I mean,
I like him.
I like Bill Murray.
I do.
Like Am I a little tired of seeing him and everything? Also, yes.
That.
Yes. But and I also he's just such a funky weird guy.
Yeah,
also, I just like hearing the stories of Bill Murray, like the legend of Bill Murray, mostly because he's never mean. He's not a mean guy. He's just a weird
guy.
You know, a weird guy. Whatever. And we also have Leslie Odom Jr. for One Night in Miami, which, and he was tremendous.
He
in
was
that film.
Excellent.
But I also think that the person who played
Malcolm.
Malcolm X was amazing, but the one who played Muhammad Ali,
oof.
he should have gotten something too.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's
he got
so good.
He nailed
Ali. Like, in everything, and just like his joyfulness, because he plays Muhammad as like a 24-year-old.
The movie takes place right after he changes his name from Cassius Clay.
He's Cassius in the movie.
Okay.
Yeah, and he
becomes Muhammad Ali later, but it's right after he wins the heavyweight championship.
Yeah, and he's thinking about, joining...
The Brotherhood.
The Brotherhood.
Yeah.
That's basically what, like, the biggest topic is the Brotherhood, and of course, get ready.
Okay. But you're right, he did it.
And I just watched it tonight, it's fine, Who needs to sleep? I don't.
Okay, so we have screenplays now. Best screenplay for a motion picture. So we have Emerald Fennell, who also directed Promising Young Woman.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
And she fought for that. She didn't really have to fight for it. I mean, considering, like, her producer. But they basically talked about how she felt that she would be the best person to direct it, having been a survivor and, like, it being
her
story.
So she pitched herself.
Yeah, she fucking pitched the fuck out of herself. And
good
I was
for
like,
her.
Yes.
Good for her.
Because if y'all don't know, Promising, I mean, like, in general, y'all don't know.
Yeah.
It's a trigger warning, like, rape revenge story.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And it looks like a fucking ride that I am so ready to be on.
Awesome. Okay, so we have Jack Fincher for Mank. We have Aaron Sorkin for The Trial of the Chicago 7. Florian Zeller and Christopher Hampton for The Father, and Chloe Zhao for Nomadland. Best original score. We have Alexandre Desplat for The Midnight Sky, Ludwig Göransson for Tenet, which I still haven't seen and I don't really have an interest in watching. James Newton Howard for News of the World, Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross for Mank, and Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross and John Batiste for Soul, which is cool. Best Original Song for a Motion Picture, which I'm surprised Hamilton isn't on it. So Fight for You from Judas and the Black Messiah, Hear My Voice from The Trial of Chicago 7, EOC Scene from The Life Ahead, Speak Now from One Night in Miami, which is a beautiful song, Tigress and Tweed from The United States versus Billie Holiday. Animated films, The Croods. I've never seen a single one, whatever. Onward, which was sweet. I liked Onward a lot.
I cried enough.
I keep forgetting that it came out so long ago.
It came out literally.
I know, that was the first movie that we all watched.
You're right.
It was also the first movie that I think was that had an official release that was supposed to be in theaters, and then they put it 2 months earlier.
It set a precedent, honestly, for everybody else to kind of just catch
up. I think it was a good start to that journey because it was such a cute movie.
It was needed.
Time. Yeah, we were pretty low.
And I'm actually glad it was our first movie because when we decided to do those Zoom movie nights, it was one a movie you had been wanting to watch for your birthday, and then we finally watched it, and then it was such
Which Michael's constantly asking, when are we bringing back movie nights? But that's another...
That's a conversation that I do want to jump into eventually, because I do think... even last Friday, I was I miss these.
You're welcome.
Over the Moon. Haven't seen it. Soul, which was really great. And Wolfwalkers, which I haven't
seen. Oh, I hear that one's really good.
Yeah?
Yeah. The art style looks really cool, too.
What does it remind you of?
To me, it just kind of looks unfinished, which makes it kind of cool.
Okay.
Because it looks like it is hand-drawn.
Oh, I love. Yeah. I love that. Okay, best foreign language. I for sure haven't seen any of them. Another Round.
Which I really... Okay, I want to see that movie because... It just feels like someone captured the Sagittarius essence and put it in a movie. And it's Mads Mikkelsen. And it's just centered around partying in Sweden. And I'm for it. If they have one ABBA song or just a glimpse of ABBA in the background.
That's that movie.
I'm done. Here.
Yeah. La Llorona, The Life Ahead, Minari, and Two of Us.
Yes, which... Minari.
Yeah.
I want to talk about that for a hot minute.
What's Minari?
Minari is a Korean-American film. It stars Steven Yeun
from
Walking Dead.
From The Walking Dead.
Glenn.
Oh, Glenn.
Yeah.
So the movie is here being nominated for Best Foreign Film when it is an American film. It's just that it happens to be in Korean because the characters are Korean family.
Well, what do they call it? It's Best Motion Picture Foreign Language. They're not saying it's a foreign film. They argued that it's a movie in a different language.
But it's basically 50-50.
No, I'm sure it is because I'm looking at the description here. And it's about a Korean family who moves to an Arkansas farm amidst the challenges of this new life in the strange and rugged Ozarks. Okay.
And it does look really good.
And it hasn't been released yet either. It's going to be released this month though.
Yeah.
So that goes back to the.
It gets released on the 12th, so it's coming out soon. Okay, well, whatever. Best television series drama. So we have The Crown, which this season was fantastic.
Honestly, I'm just excited for the Emmys.
we all? We have Lovecraft Country, excellent film, show, The Mandalorian, which is.
It's fine.
We know how I feel.
It was fine.
It's fine. And this season has come up quite a bit, I think.
Yeah.
Ozark, which I did watch, I think, the first couple of seasons. I haven't watched the latest one, but it is a good show. It's just very slow.
I got so bored.
It's a slow-moving show.
The murders in the show was not enough for me to continue.
It's not for everybody. And it certainly wasn't for me because I didn't get excited to watch it. And Ratched, which I haven't seen yet because I want Gabe to watch One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest first.
You guys still haven't seen it?
He hasn't seen it. I've seen
it. No, I know you've seen it, but I feel like we've had this conversation where he was supposed to watch it.
Yeah, but it's hard. It's like wrangling. It's never going to happen.
Fine.
But anyway, okay, cool. Best television series, musical, or comedy? Emily in Paris.
Just
Emily
get to the one Perry. That's going to make you happy. Just get to the one that's going to make you happy before we blow
we
up.
Get, yeah, before
okay,
we
get so The Flight Attendant, so good.
Yeah.
So
freaking good. I told Sasha,
good.
Like, you have to fucking watch
just,
it.
It's excellent, excellent yeah. on
and
every
I
front.
And it has the guy you like. Michelle
I know.
Heisman.
He's so hot. And he's even sexier in the show.
And I do have to watch it. I'm going to watch it this weekend because yeah. also, Kaylee Cuoco, we saw her reaction
yeah.
this morning.
Sometimes.
She was in tears.
Of course. Because this is like one of her first breakouts after Big Bang Theory.
Yes.
Considering that like she was never nominated for Big Bang. And like, honestly, she's
yeah.
in like,
she
you,
carries
you and
the
I
show.
About this. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's
yeah.
incredible. Like, considering the cast that the show has.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my
she
God.
She shines.
She shines. But honestly, the casting in the show is so good. But you'll watch it and you come back.
Okay.
The Great? I don't know what The
that,
Great
that
is.
That one's about Catherine the Great.
Yeah.
Oh,
on Hulu.
Okay,
it
I've seen the trailer.
So fun.
Is it? Okay.
So fun.
Okay, 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 okay. Then we have Schitt's Creek, which
Yay.
Is exciting.
Obviously.
You, there are so many people who don't like it.
I know.
Which, you know what I think? You know what the thing about Schitt's Creek is? You have to really, like, you have to commit to at least 3 or 4 episodes. You
I
almost
agree.
Have to. You
I
almost
agree.
Have to agree to the whole season, the
yeah.
first season.
I agree.
Here's where what I'll say. One thing I've stopped doing is, oh, you have to do like you should get to like here, and that's where it'll click for you. Because for me with Schitt's Creek, it clicked
right
from
right.
the beginning. I like yeah. I had no trouble. Maybe because I've watched a lot of like, Christopher Guest's. Stuff mm-hmm. right like
yeah
A Mighty Wind, Best in Show, like so I expected kind of the same comedy. It's not the same comedy
no.
but like I already came in with a certain expectation, so I was pleasantly surprised.
I think
but that's the sorry go ahead
no so like my, one of my friends Yoli right where she had seen the trailer it she didn't immediately look sold on it
mm-hmm.
and then I had that conversation with her and I'm like no you just gotta give it a couple episodes, you know, like someone like her that what isn't sold immediately from the trailer it's,
mm-hmm.
it kind of steers away from probably stuff she's seen before
mm-hmm.
I told her I'm like give it a few episodes and she did and she now loves the show
mm-hmm.
you know
and I think it takes people some time because when you the because it's a the premise is about a rich family that you don't want to like
yep
jumping into a town with a terrible name.
Yeah.
And you just assume that they're going to be, like, the way that it starts, you just assume they're just going to be snobs who are going to, like, insult the town and
yep.
all of that. And then when you build in, but it takes a while for the story
yeah.
to build and
mm-hmm.
the heart is so big on the
what?
Show that you... It's irresistible, but you have to... Unfortunately, it's true, though. It's
yeah,
hard to,
yeah,
like,
no,
be,
I
like...
Yeah.
I agree, but because I've had a couple of, like, instances with people being like, no, like, I don't need to do that, whatever. I'm like, you know what? You're right. You don't have to do that. Watch it. Don't watch it. It honestly makes no difference to me because I've watched it enough. We'll continue to watch it, and it will continue to be one of my favorite shows.
Yeah.
One more thing I want to say on Schitt's Creek, to your point, like, to piggyback off of your point of, like, these terrible people coming into this town... What I appreciated, that even when, like, they make fun of the town or the people or whatever, the people there are like, okay, we still have our houses, though.
Exactly.
So.
It's, but that's what's so special about the show, because
yeah.
the more, and at this point, we've all rewatched it, like,
yeah.
I don't know how many
yes.
times.
I love
And show. Every time I restart this show, I'm paying more attention to the other characters
mm-hmm.
and how strong they are from the beginning
mm-hmm.
about their, like, love for the town and, like, their... Like their generosity to this family,
mm-hmm.
and they're not stupid. They know that they've read about these people on the news, like whatever. We can go on and on. This
yeah.
could be a whole Schitt's Creek
yeah.
episode, but Schitt's Creek is on the list. Cool. And Ted Lasso, which I've heard is really good.
I hear it's great.
Actually, my boss started watching it, and he wants me to watch it real bad. And then I recommended Mystic Quest to him, and now we've been going back and forth.
Oh my god, I love it. So Michael wants to. Do like a free trial with Apple TV just so we could watch Ted Lasso because he's like, I need to see it.
He could just log in with mine. I have a full year. It's supposed to expire now in the fall.
Yeah, actually, I think you might get it already for with Xfinity or something. No, mentira. He got a new phone, didn't he, this year?
Yeah, at some point.
Because there might be a because Gabe got a free subscription because he got a new phone. Like a new.
I got it when I got my new Mac.
And I got it for $1 last year. Actually, it's ending now on the Valentine's Day. It cost $1 for the whole year.
We'll look into it, but yeah, we saw it on one of our YouTube channels that we love, and it's come up on 5 of them.
I've heard excellent things. It's the one about he's a soccer coach who from here that goes to England, which is ridiculous.
And it's Jason Sudeikis. It's Jason Sudeikis. Who I can't hate.
Yeah, but I'll watch it now. Well, not right this moment, but
That's it. We're pausing the episode.
Okay, see you later. Be there back. Actually, let's see where we are. Well, it would be good to take a break. So we'll be right back. Welcome back to our Golden Globes
explosion?
Extravaganza! Extravagances. So best limited series, anthology, best limited series, anthology series, or motion picture, blah, 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 blah. For television, Normal People.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it.
Okay.
So good.
The Queen's Gambit.
Yeah. Jenny will be happy.
So excellent. Small Axe.
I don't know that one.
Don't know, but it's about a small axe. The Undoing. Everybody really likes this show. I finished it and was okay.
It was a show.
It was fine.
Yeah.
The kid on the show is best. The kid, the boy on the show is the same boy as who was in Honey Boy, who played young Shia LaBeouf.
Okay.
And he's just a great
actor.
He's a great actor. For him, I'll watch it again. Not really. I won't watch it again.
It's terrible. I heard Donald Sutherland was really good in it.
That who?
Donald Sutherland.
Oh, Donald Sutherland. It's him and Donald Sutherland.
But
he can steal any scene.
Yeah.
You see him in any scene and you're like, this is all this I need.
Michael loves Donald Sutherland.
It's hard not to.
I know.
He plays a great everything he is.
I know.
Pride and Prejudice.
He plays a great heartfelt dad. He plays a great concerned dad. He plays a great
nemesis.
Dictator. He's just excellent. I love him. But otherwise, the show sucks. best performance by an actress in a TV series, Olivia Colman for The Crown.
Cool. Wait, sorry, for the best shows, Unorthodox, too, got nominated.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mention Unorthodox, but I have heard awesome things about it, and it keeps coming up for me. I'm getting mad already. sorry, because I looked down the list. You guys will know what I'm talking about in a minute. Okay, so for best performance by an actress in a television series, we have Olivia Colman for The Crown.
Duh.
Jodie Comer for Killing Eve. She's so good.
Yes. Have you watched last season?
Yeah.
It's.
Did I? No. Did I?
It's on Hulu.
Did I watch it? I think I did. I don't know.
But it got so much better. It's not that it was bad before, but it just keeps getting better.
To another level.
It's unfair. It's honestly, it's an unfair show.
God. I have to catch up. Emma Corrin for The Crown. Who's
Emma Corrin? She's Princess Diana.
Oh, she's Princess Diana.
Yeah, and she was a delight. In terms of a nice surprise,
She was so sweet.
And she did such a great job.
Yeah, she did a fantastic job.
Cancer energy. Laura Linney for Ozark, sure.
Yeah.
Sarah Paulson for Ratched, of course. All right. So.
Here we go.
Rubbing the hands. Best performance by an actress in a television series, musical, or comedy.
We're just going to skip it.
Can we talk about why Lily Collins is on this list for Emily and Belly? Why? What did she do on the show that was so extraordinary? She got to wear great clothes and walk around Paris.
Chocolate croissants.
And nothing
happens in the show.
Yeah.
Nothing happens except she's a rude American.
The show got nominated because it's in France.
It's so fucking dumb.
It is the whitest thing ever.
And to think that she would get let me finish the nominations. Okay. We have Kaley Coco for The Flight Attendant.
Which, yes. Absolutely.
Fantastic. Definitely. Elle Fanning for The Great. I love Elle Fanning anyway, so I'll take it.
But I think this is a great Catherine.
She plays a great Catherine O'Hara? Oh, Catherine O'Hara.
Sorry,
she's on the list. Catherine the Great.
To date, she's, as a child actor, she has progressively.
Both her and her sister.
And her sister. But she has progressively gotten better with everything she's done.
I like that she's weird. I like that she's quirky.
She's definitely very quirky.
She definitely is. I saw the interview. I saw you know which interview I'm talking about? The Actors Roundtable that she had?
I love those.
She was quirky in that one, and it was her, Zendaya, and I forgot the other three, but
So we also have Jane Levy for Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist. She's Zoe, right?
Yeah.
It's a great show. Yeah. That is a very good show.
I haven't started the new season because a part of me is not ready to enter how they left off.
Yeah. I haven't watched it either for that reason because I'm not there yet.
I know that, like...
It's a sensitive topic, but I do love how they built to whole thing.
And I love the use of how they use pop music.
And the music is awesome. They chose great music for the show. So good. And lastly, Catherine O'Hara for Schitt's Creek, which
we don't need to go into it because we just know she's a delight.
I love her.
So good.
Oh, I love her in everything.
Which makes me a little upset that The Good Place was not nominated.
I agree. The Good Place isn't anywhere on this list.
I would have taken it over.
I would have taken this 4-foot stormtrooper in lieu of Emily and Perry. It
goes back to what
And can we talk about... Did we finish the list? Yes, we did. Okay, well, this is for... Okay. Never mind. Please continue.
No, it touches again on when we were talking about James Corden. Like, you know, I saw Emily and Perry. I'm sure we all did.
All three of us did.
And it was fine. It was nice to travel. And it was nice to, especially during quarantine, to see images of Paris and whatever. But when you put it up next to all the other freaking heavyweights that could have been nominated, and it's like,
it's simple.
It makes me feel like, wait,
no place in the list.
It just makes me feel like, so there weren't any other comedies? No other comedies came out?
The Good Place couldn't
be there?
I
would have taken Jamila Al-Jamil.
Bridgerton
isn't even nominated.
Not at all.
On anything. And it qualifies. It should have qualified
because this Korean movie hasn't even come out yet.
Yeah. That's what we were talking about earlier. Like, what are the qualifying dates?
This is lobbying. That's why Lily Collins is on here. They lobbied hard for her because they really want to promote her into this potential Oscar winning person.
And I'm here
Collins, I mean, she's fine. She's cute, fine.
But she hasn't done anything. But Lily Collins has had a whole ass career already.
Yeah.
She's been in this for 10 plus years. It's not our fault that she keeps being put in shit.
Yeah. But also, let's be real. She's a cute actress. She does decent jobs in these movies. She's not. I don't see her yet giving me a performance that merits this heavyweight Oscar winning or Golden Globe winning. Like, to your point about lobbying her because they want to put her in
want her to be the Golden Globe winning
actress. And I'm
first of all, if she wins, I will throw everything I have out the window. Everything I own will go out into the street.
That's not to say she doesn't have it in her, but I'm sorry.
But the good thing is that she's nominated, so that is something she can carry. She could be Lily Collins, the Golden Globe nominated
actress.
Which is exactly what will happen, because if Kaley Cuoco does not win...
Not even. She's against a lot of people. It's hard enough. Kaley Cuoco is going to have a hard enough time going up against Catherine O'Hara. Catherine O'Hara is probably going to take this category because Schitt's Creek is that sleeper show that won everything already, and they want to give Catherine O'Hara everything else. And she dressed up as a fucking bishop in it. She's going to,
I know.
And besides, Kaley Cuoco will have other opportunities too, because The Flight Attendant will be out for more than one season. So,
But that first season was just so good.
Let's continue. So now the same best actress in a limited series, anthology, or motion picture made for television. We have Cate Blanchett for Mrs. America, which you've told me that it's so fantastic.
Yes.
Daisy Edgar Jones for Normal People. Mm. Shira Haas?
I think it's Shira.
for Unorthodox, Nicole Kidman for Relax, Nicole, and Anya Taylor-Joy for The Queen's Gambit. I'm happy for her because she's now nominated for two things that she
projects
really came out in. I mean, I know she's in other films and stuff this year, but those are big. Best performance by an actress in a television supporting role. We have Gillian Anderson playing Margaret Thatcher in The Crown. We got Helena Bonham Carter
in The Crown.
We have Julia Garner for Ozark. We have Annie Murphy for Schitt's Creek. And we have Cynthia Nixon for Ratched. I love Cynthia Nixon. Yeah. But, you know, I'm just happy Annie Murphy is on here.
I'm very happy for her. I love her.
It's a great year for Sagittarius.
Another Sag. She's definitely one that you could look at and be like, you're a Sagittarius.
Yeah, 100%.
Best performance by an actor in a television series drama. We have Jason Bateman for Ozark. Okay, fine. Josh O'Connor for The Crown.
He did fantastic.
He was a great Prince Charles.
Yes, he was.
Prince Charles was... Oh, he's...
And
he made Prince Charles interesting and hot.
Yeah.
Bob Odenkirk for Better Call Saul, which is good because I love Bob Odenkirk. And Better Call Saul is a great show. Al Pacino for Hunters. Don't know what that is. And Matthew Rhys for Perry Mason. I have started Perry Mason, but it's too slow right now. It's slow and dark, and like I can't handle it right now. But it is very good. Best performance by an actor in a television series, musical, or comedy. Don Cheadle for Black Monday. Awesome. Nicholas Hoult for The Great. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yep. Huzzah.
Eugene Levy for Schitt's Creek. Hey. Duh. Jason Sudeikis for Ted Lasso. And Rami Youssef for Rami.
I love that show.
Rami's a good show. If you've seen it?
No, I haven't seen
it's
it.
It's very
but
good.
But you mentioned it the last time when he won the Emmy the first time. You were telling me how good it was.
It's a great show.
Like, based on the way that season one ended, I did not know how they were going to continue that shit into season two. And, yeah.
So I want to go back.
Where are we going?
Because I still don't see anybody from Lovecraft Country.
Or I May Destroy You.
or I May Destroy You, which was such a good show.
I like want to talk about it, but I don't because I'm so upset.
I'm really upset. Best performance by an actor in a limited series or motion picture made for television. Bryan Cranston for Your Honor.
I feel like Bryan Cranston, like, farts and gets nominated for something.
he's a talented guy.
Yeah.
You know, I get it. But
I'm tired.
But you're right. He's always nominated for all the things.
Jeff Daniels for The Comey Rule. He plays a great James Comey. That show is one of the it's very, very rare for me to, like, pay attention to a show and be like, the writing is a little off, huh? The whole show's writing, and I don't know anything about writing, I'm not a writer, but the dialogue in this show is so terrible.
Is it?
It could have been written by anyone who did a really extensive report, school project on James Comey. Because the dialogue is just not how humans speak. And it's not the actor's job is to make it sound like humans talk this way.
But do you think maybe they were trying to give an interpretation of how these people actually spoke to one another? I think it's hard
because they're transcribing like real things that happened. Okay. Sure, so it's not like these are just characters; these are
real
people. You know, who were involved in this. But you've seen plenty of biopics. The Crown, we don't know how the Queen really felt when her dad died. Like, give me a break.
You're right.
So it's just when you start it, you're like,
it's an interpretation.
We also don't really know what happens in the room that one night in Miami.
True.
But we left it into interpretation.
Yeah.
Right. So it's just, I don't know. Like, the writing is just awful. But Jeff Daniels does play a great James Comey.
Oh,
the guy who plays Trump.
Isn't it your father-in-law? Gleason?
Who?
Yeah, Donald Gleason's
Donald
dad.
Gleason.
Oh, you're right! Oh, yes. My father-in-law, Donald Gleason's dad. He plays such a great Trump, though.
He
looks like Trump. It's really creepy. Hugh Grant for The Undoing. I think Hugh Grant only gets this because he's playing a not nice character.
I feel like Jonathan Majors.
But he does do a great job in it.
I was just about to say, I'm pleasantly surprised that this other stage of Hugh Grant's career where he's like not trying to be the charming, you know.
Pero ya está viejo. He can't. He also was super against going into television. He was like, he didn't want to be in a television show.
But to be fair, I think there was a lot of actors up until this last couple of years that were very much like that. And now it's like, but television is giving everyone.
Because television got good.
Television got real good.
I get that, but like, whatever. Have you watched The Undoing?
No, and you told me that one day. But like, I don't watch it to be miserable with you, and I was like, nah.
It just
doesn't look like
a. Wait, why do I want to be miserable?
Boring. Oh my god!
No, I was miserable that day in like my own way, but it was just kind of like it. Just the show just looks so boring.
It's just white people doing like undoing white things. People things.
Someone did something, another
someone doing it, and they have an ethnic-y, like not white woman on the show who I believe is from, she's from other, from something else, and she's beautiful and great and brilliant, but of course she's like this like single mom who's not white, and like it's just set, it's just stupid.
Okay.
Ethan Hawke for The Good Lord Bird,
which looks like a wild time, honestly. That show looks like a wild time.
What?
He like plays a preacher.
He does?
And he looks like super old.
He is pretty old.
Yeah. I know he
is. He wasn't going to age well either. And he's not aging well. But good for him.
But I've always had the hots for Ethan Hawke, so I'm struggling.
Which is fair, because you saw all those movies growing up.
I saw all of the Befores.
All of the Befores.
Well, I saw part one and two as a young woman.
Well, you haven't seen them.
So whenever you want,
fucking love them.
Whenever you want, because they are beautiful.
I will watch them too.
I want to watch them.
They're brilliant.
Beautiful. I have a clean couch now.
And
whatever.
They're on HBO Max.
I have a clean couch.
One of us does.
I own them.
Okay.
Okay. So mine are the Criterion Collection edition.
Got it.
Of these movies,
they're such a you who love dialogue.
I know.
The whole
romance.
I know. It took me a hot minute to watch Emma, and that it was.
It's not the same thing.
It's not the same. I'm not saying that they're the same.
This one's way too real about what a relationship is.
I know. What I'm saying is, like, me that I love period pieces and stuff like that. Like, look how long it took me to watch Emma. It's the same thing. Like, when there's certain movies, romance movies, and included.
Anyway.
Let's move on.
I'm moving on because
it's the last one, and then I could start popping off.
Plus, I really need to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
So, Mark Ruffalo in I Know This Much Is True.
This much is true.
That's all we know. The best performance by an actor in a television supporting role. Last category. John Boyega for Small Axe.
I know
what the show is.
It's the Steve McQueen one where it's an anthology, so it's four different short film, but it's like a mini series.
Yes,
different parts of like London in the 60s.
Yes.
It's about like folks from like the Caribbean, like the West Indies, that immigrated to.
Where is it on Netflix?
No, HBO.
Okay. But look, Brendan Gleeson got nominated for Trump in the
Your
Kobe
role.
Your father-in-law. Yay. We have Daniel Levy for Schitt's Creek. Good for you, Dan.
Yeah.
Jim Parsons for Hollywood. Yeah. He was great in Hollywood. And Donald Sutherland.
The disrespect on this man's name right now.
I really have to go to the bathroom. Donald Sutherland in The Undoing.
Honestly, this
whole category is so much better than this category. Like, I'm here.
Okay.
But,
So, yes, a lot of great stuff. We have, like, three female directors. Honestly, like, everything is great. I'm just
women somehow are in there.
I just want to get to it. I haven't seen it yet, but I feel like it was a great film. I'm upset that, like, John David Washington was not nominated for anything, considering that he was in two, like,
Zendaya also wasn't
Zendaya
nominated
either.
For Euphoria?
For Euphoria or, Malcolm and Marie.
She touched my breast.
I know.
Sorry.
No, it's fine.
We're getting to a whole other level.
We're not going to talk about it. It's okay. Rude. Yeah, like, neither one of them nominated for anything.
Yeah.
Because for Euphoria, I feel like they could have gotten away with, like, part one.
I know. I haven't seen part two yet. I know it's there.
It's stunning.
I'm gearing up for it because part one really
also wrote it.
Hunter wrote the episode?
Yeah, she wrote it with Sam Levinson, but it was beautiful. Anyway, I don't want to talk about it either. I'm gonna cry. So yeah, Zendaya not being nominated for anything, not me upset about it. And The Five Bloods. That movie was amazing. Jamie Lindo not being nominated for supporting is a travesty, honestly. That movie was it's so good. And it's about the Vietnam War and black soldiers in the Vietnam War. And we don't talk about that enough. I just feel we don't talk about the Vietnam War as much as we should, yeah, outside of things that came out in the 70s.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You know, so I felt that it was interesting to bring it to today.
Yeah.
And it's Spike Lee, so for me, I'm it's gonna be dope.
But they weren't even brought up once.
Insecure not being nominated for anything.
Mm.
I May Destroy You not being nominated for a damn fucking thing.
Not even for writing?
It's honestly, I don't even want to watch the Globes this year, because just knowing that Emily in Paris is going to be there for things, I don't care to see it.
Let's go back to Emily in Paris, because if anybody deserves a nomination from Emily in Paris, it should be the boss, the lady who played the boss.
Amazing.
And the co-worker.
And the co-worker, oh my god. And even the Asian,
yes,
girl.
Yes, her best friend.
The one who sings. Yes. Anyone else. It could have been the white-headed, tall, lanky Frenchman who's in the show.
Oh, he was fun.
He's hilarious. He could have been nominated.
Anyone else from the show.
A purse from the show could have been nominated.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't care.
Yeah, I May Destroy You. Let's just talk about how she literally put her trauma to paper and gave us a beautiful show.
Literally.
And, got zero for... I mean, it's not that, she doesn't need the accolades, because we all know how amazing that show is. And, Chewing Gum was...
Masterpiece.
I just want Michaela Cole to do everything, and I'm just going to consume it all happily without a problem. And then let's talk about Lovecraft Country. Yeah, great. It was nominated for, Best Show. But where are the actors? Not a single white person could have been nominated from that show?
but yet, Emily in Paris is. But then it goes to your question. You said it earlier, lobbying, right? It's all about lobbying. So where did they fall short as far as, okay, well, I mean, this is a fantastic show, clearly. I don't understand, where the lobbying fell short here. And if they were lobbying, that...
You know why? I think that it's a strategic thing, because Emily in Paris... And yes, I'm American. Emily in Paris is developed by the same folks who made Sex and the City. And Sex and the City is coming out with a revival.
Sex and the City was better.
Right, 100%. But I'm pretty sure that's what the lobbying is for.
Yeah.
It's because the new rendition of Sex and the City is coming out soon. Mm. And I think that they want to gain more clout for it. And this is one of their vehicles. Ways. So, whatever. Great. With all due respect, she's fine. She'll have other opportunities.
Yeah,
but I think I would be embarrassed if I was Lily Collins, and I'm not gonna say if I were Lily Collins, I wouldn't. She didn't even learn the language.
Let's make it really awkward for her. The other part is she's hosting the SAG Awards this week.
Is she?
She is. She's co-hosting with David Diggs.
That I did know. I knew he was going to host it. Just didn't know she was joining.
So they're co-hosting, and I'm here honestly, a part of me does feel bad for her, because at the end of the day, you know,
I guess.
She's getting a lot of flack
for
it. But, I mean...
She
wasn't good.
That's exactly why I would be embarrassed. Because it's...
But what is she going to do? It's not even if she was embarrassed... She doesn't earn anything by self-selecting to, denounce the nomination. Mm-hmm. She can't very well say, I'm giving up my nomination for literally anybody else.
Look at what happened with, what's her name from Grey's Anatomy?
Yeah, yeah. Do you want her? Look what happened to her. She's blacklisted.
Yeah, she's blacklisted because she, you know, and she was being honest. She's like, I don't think that the work that I did merited the, you know, the nomination. And she got...
And the Academy was like, oh, really? You don't like it? Cool. You'll never get a job again.
And, yeah. And that's exactly what happened.
But she also had a, she also has been known to have a pretty difficult personality, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Which doesn't help.
She spoke out a lot and whatnot. But, I mean, it's still, I still think it's it should be okay.
No, she's, actually, I think the what she said was, that it wasn't that she didn't think she had done the work to deserve it. She thought she didn't have the writing behind her to deserve her nomination. She was like, the writing wasn't good enough for me.
Again, Sagittarius.
And Shonda.
Yeah, and Shonda was like, hilarious. You're going to try to push me. I'm going to make you fuck a ghost.
Well, ultimately.
And did.
She did.
Ultimately, I guess the point that I'm trying to make as far as giving that example is, but you should be able to come out and say, I don't want to be nominated because I think other people were more deserving without feeling like a fear of repercussions from that decision.
But the truth is she has been on the train to get the nomination since last year. It's not like she literally woke up and was like, me? What? Her managers and her agents and all of that have all been trying to get her in front of the right people to interview her. They got her the Vogue, like, Taking Off My Makeup series and all that other shit.
I did see that.
Because they were trying to promote the fuck out of her to prepare for the Globes. Yeah. So all of that, the surprise that she feels for getting nominated is really just because she earned, because it was earned after all of the work, like, the plan was achieved.
Yeah. Remember, like, Josie and the Pussycats?
Yes.
Right, how, like, they do so much just to make Josie a thing. That's basically what they did with Lily Collins.
Yeah.
Maybe just, that was overtly, but yes.
I can't wait for season two when they put a bed in the middle of the CN.
Something.
And they and they deal with the very predictable, like, oh, you're not leaving?
Oh, Gabriel, my hot neighbor cook. Chef.
I want you. I don't want you.
He should have been nominated.
The steak should have been nominated.
That's true. No, the omelet. The omelet.
The omelet. The omelet.
No, the steak that she returns.
Oh, the steak that she returns is a gross American. Yep.
Yeah, that should have been nominated. Anyways, yes.
On my website.
Like, another article that I read that was like, you know what? The good thing is that the shows that were snubbed, or like the entertainment that was snubbed, it gives people the opportunity now to, like, check it out, right? So things like the Five Bloods or whatever, which, yeah, like, that's great and all, but I think that they also kind of deserve the accolades a lot more than some of the things that were fucking nominated, because I feel that Steven Yeun should have fucking been nominated for Minari, and I haven't even seen it based on the trailer alone.
And to be fair, too, the accolades bring a whole other level of, like, perks to it, too. To the actor and to the writers and the directors and the producers.
You get to ask for more money.
Yeah, you get to ask for more money. You get to demand more because your value at that point goes up. Because, you know, like, look at what I've been able to do as an actor. You know, Steven Yeun, for example, you know, a lot of people mostly know him from The Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. But if you've seen, and I forget, I don't know how to pronounce it. The show, it's a movie on Netflix about the big, like, animal that he's in.
Okja.
He's also in that. Like, he's done other things. It's not just The Walking Dead. And now, you know, he comes out with this. Yeah. And, you know, just based on the trailer alone, it looks fantastic. Mm-hmm. And it's like, he can do other things. And this kind of puts him more out there. And also, from another, because Fear the Walking Dead is more like horror-ish, if you hit it, where this is more drama and all that. So he gets to be able to demand more. And that's ultimately the point, is what I'm trying to make, is it gives the actors, writers, and everybody behind, whoever's in the background,
and we can argue that, like, you know, based on, like, the way that the Globes are produced or whatever, like, that's what goes into the Oscars and could go into the Emmys. So for me, it's like, yeah, which means that, like, some folks will be overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever the Oscars does or doesn't do will be pandering at this point.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I'm sorry. And
no, I don't. I just wanted to sigh loudly.
I just think that, but as this, what this teaches us, as it always does, is that the awards shows always fall short. They're always going to get it, they're going to get it right in some areas, and they're going to get it wrong in other areas, unfortunately. And it's...
I mean, there's no excuse for Emily in Paris.
There is.
No, there is really.
There's no excuse. I don't understand.
But again, and I fully expect the same shit's gonna happen when the Oscar nominations come out, when, you know, the Emmys nominations come out, whatever other awards are supposed to come out next.
Yeah.
I think Oscars is next, right?
Yeah.
The SAG obviously is coming up too.
The only vindication that I see in these nominations is that Lin-Manuel was not nominated for his Dark Materials, and that was a real fear I had. In fact, nothing from his Dark Materials
was nominated,
and that was fine.
I would have sworn that you would have been surprised by that.
I enjoy the show, but it's.
But is it Lovecraft Country?
No.
Does it try to be a little bit, except with animals? Okay.
So the Friday conversation. So she hasn't watched I May Destroy You. She hasn't watched Lovecraft. So I told her, if you want, I have a TV. You can come over. I don't mind rewatching them with you. It'd be, like, great to see it through someone else's eyes for the first time and then remember what it felt like for me.
Kind of like when we all got together and we saw...
Legends of the Fall?
I wasn't there for that, but...
But that was exactly what happened.
Well, you were like,
you guys haven't watched Legends of the Fall?
Whatever. Okay, let's not even get into that.
This isn't about that.
We're not even going to get into that because then I'm just going to... You know what? I'm going to give you back. I'm going to give you back to Lisette. Okay?
Oh, I wasn't... I didn't know that I was transferable. And I wasn't...
This is who you
want
to give yourself to? This is who you want to give yourself to. A person that doesn't even, like, value you as your own individual.
You know what? I would tell you...
Any friend that doesn't value the movies that I so graciously...
Sasha, I like the movie. Don't push it.
Anyway... what the hell was my train of thought at this point? Like,
something else that we were all gonna watch together. What was
it? That you were like, oh, it reminds me of a time when you were like, oh, you haven't watched blah blah. Oh, was it Pride and Prejudice? No,
when we went to go over to Lisette's house to watch the movie.
Oh, Hereditary.
Hereditary.
Ooh, oof. I still have, oof.
You know what I mean?
Nightmares.
A movie I can never watch
but
again.
But you must have had a great time watching us watch that movie.
Yes.
You know,
because I got to experience what I experienced. Through you.
Yeah. Oh,
so...
Like...
That movie should be nominated every year for something.
Yeah. Or agree.
It's such a great movie, but I never want to watch it again.
Or when you saw me binge the entire 2 seasons of Fleabag in your house.
In one day.
Yo, in one evening.
I'm so proud of us. Well, we cannot do that with I May Destroy You because it is very strong.
I have a feeling... That
you need to absorb it little by little.
I had a feeling, and that's one of those shows that you have to take... But...
I would say Lovecraft Country as well. Lovecraft Country has a lot of strong themes, mm-hmm. and it's so creatively, like... it's so nuanced in mm-hmm. the way that they tell you and try to teach you that... It's just really effective. So mm-hmm. even Lovecraft was hard to binge.
Yeah. And, like, it does a really cool thing of, like, you really think it's going to go this way, but it doesn't.
At all.
It completely, like, takes you in a different direction.
And I can't wait to see what directions you think the show will go.
Well, if I can invite myself,
you are absolutely
gladly,
invited.
I'll just use your kitchen to make all the bread I have to make.
Yeah,
oh, can
it.
We have it with
and
honey
I have
butter?
I have an oven.
No, I have to make bread for Saturday for Jenny's birthday.
You can make an extra loaf.
Oh, can I? Can I make an extra loaf?
Fine,
you know what?
Speaking of, I have to start working on that loaf.
I'll try to make bread with my AP, with my all-purpose, and see how it goes.
Fine. You can absolutely use my oven.
Thank you.
I should have everything you need.
That's what best friends are for.
Except the bread flour.
Yeah, I'll have to buy more of that anyway.
But I have yeast. I have, like, a whole thing of yeast. Anyway, Fantastic. We'll talk about it after.
Okay, perfect. Well, that was all that we have for today. Did you guys, I mean, do you agree with what we feel on these nominations? Do you staunchly disagree? Are you also like me who hasn't seen the majority of the content?
Yeah.
Let us know. You can always follow us. On all the things, you can follow us on Baby Lamps Podcast at
Instagram.
On Instagram. Don't even bother with Twitter. Like, don't even. You can follow us on Twitch too.
Yeah.
We're there, and we should be getting a new box for Hunt a Killer very soon. So keep your eyes out for that. You'll learn more if you follow us on Instagram. We'll announce it there. I want to take a moment to thank Sasha for walking all this way to participate today.
Thank you for having me and wanting to hear my opinions.
Of course.
Sure.
And if you can, wish Janabelle Art, who does the artwork she made the artwork for our Lamb logo. She did all the art for all of our D&D stuff. She's an incredible artist. She's a tattoo artist as well. She's done all of our tattoos. She's amazing.
She's amazing.
Her birthday is on Saturday, so feel free to follow her at Janabelle Art on Instagram and send her some love.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Janabelle.
Anything else?
I think that's all she wrote for today.
All right. Well, then, if you'll join me, we're gonna say goodbye to everybody. Okay. So we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Baby Lambs podcast. Artwork created by Janabelle Art. You can follow her on Instagram at Janabelle Art, or you can follow her studio at Studio Nami Tattoo. Music created by Daniel LaCosta and produced by Sunset Studios Miami. You can follow them on their Instagram at Sunset Studios Miami.
And you can follow us on Instagram via our handle at Baby Lambs Podcast. You can also find us on Twitter at Baby Lambs PCast or Baby Lambs Podcast. You can find us now on iTunes and Google Play and even on CastBox, which is actually a really cool app. Also by finding us via our handle, Baby Lambs Podcast, or by visiting our website at babylambspodcast.com. Thanks again for listening.